Welcome to another episode of Just Kicking It Podcast. We're back. We are back in the building. Yeah, man. Another good week of soccer. Another good week of the football, whatever you call it in your part of the world. We're glad you came back, you know, to check us out. What's been going on with you, my brother?
Oh, man. Good to see you, man. All has been well. In November now, Premier League and, you know, all the soccer leagues around the world really gearing up, a lot of twists and turns. It's been interesting to watch, man, and so I'm happy to be here to discuss it with you, man.
Cool, man. All right, let's get into this, man. So let's go Champions League first, man. How'd you feel about the last few Champions League games, man?
Champions League was pretty cool to watch, man. Taking a look at some of these scores, refreshing my memory. You know, your boys definitely put on an excellent performance.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that score line. You guys took care of business in every way against a, you know, up-and-coming, you know, competitive club, man, that has a lot of talent all over the park. So that was really surprising to me, just that score line. That was my big takeaway. What about you?
Yeah, man, mine was definitely my Manchester United boys pulling it off. You told me that if we would be at this point in the league period, then I couldn't have helped you out, man. But so I got to do some stuff for my Manchester United nation here. Because I got a couple of things I've written down. I'm gonna go ahead and even though it's late and you know things haven't happened the way we wanted this weekend. But hold on, let me get my screen sharing right, just for all those people out there that was giving us some hate, mainly you, brother. Mainly you. I'm just saying, Marcus Rashford is bona fide, baby. I mean, let that man breathe. You was out here talking crazy about Marcus, man.
Yeah. Marcus Rashford, definitely clinical. I got nothing to do with those. Definitely made me eat my words, man, and hell of a performance for you guys.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. Like it's the Marcus Rashford show. It was on point, man. And I appreciate that, brother, for that. Like, man, it was something, man. My phone messed up.
Time 5,000 stats, depending on what club I'm at.
Yeah, no, I definitely I understand where you're going with this. Even in the game today. He's really just improving overall, man, becoming well-rounded. You know, he used to be a lot of just direct and pace, but now I'm starting to see the skill. And so, you know, very pleased for him and you guys.
Yeah, man. I'm technically surprised. Another thing that surprised me is Real Madrid in this group stage, man. Like, they barely scraped away with that tie. They were looking at maybe not even making out this group, you know, if they would have lost that game.
Yeah, against the German side. Yeah, 2-2. That is a very surprising scoreline. This is not Real Madrid of yesteryear, you know, where they just bully everybody, put big numbers up on the board. I mean, mm-hmm. It seems like if any time in recent history, they are there for the taking. And, you know, that scoreline just proves it.
Yeah, man, it's crazy because I was thinking about it, like, when we'll talk about it going forward, but I mean, like, even Barcelona looked bad, even though they lost, I mean, even though Barcelona looked bad against, Barcelona ended up beating Juve, I'm sorry, but no. Juve was, and that's another question, it's like, are we seeing, and this is a bigger question, and we can piggyback off of this, are we seeing a change of the guard in European soccer? Because Juve looked like they were horrible. They had been horrible without Ronaldo. And Ronaldo's 38. Like, how long can he ride this horse?
Exactly. A lot of clubs, you know, who have traditionally been powerhouses have aging superstars. They all kind of have the same problem where the guy that's really made the difference is getting older. And, you know, I think the franchises are struggling with accepting that fact and not really doing necessarily a a real good job of ushering that next wave of talent. But I think it's going to be exciting, and I think that European Super League is going to also play a big factor. I think you know, come Christmas time, when the window opens back up for transfers, we're going to see a lot of teams spend money like Chelsea did this past offseason.
So you think everybody's going to become like, okay, well, we need to go ahead and break some bread off now.
I think so. I mean, you see Barcelona, the sporting director, the president, you know, one week he says there's no way that he's stepping down or leaving the club. The next week he's retiring, and you sent me that link where, you know, he was talking about his last action. And, you know, I know we're trying to talk about La Liga, but it all kind of piggybacks and is a big gumbo of decision makings and how it's going to impact the future, because like he's saying, he's accepting the Super League, the European Super League invite. You got to retool that club to be able to compete in that sort of tournament. And that means $200-300 million got to be spent. I mean, to be able to compete player wise.
So, I mean, if we're going to have a lot of different players moving, do you think it's going to be a lot of surprising names we'll see moving?
I think so. And I think that you're going to see a real arms race, you know, hiring mercenaries like we've never seen before. And I think you're going to have to go all out, and somebody's going to really have to set the bar on what the talent level for one of these European Super League teams is going to be. I mean, if you look at what Chelsea did just to kind of retool and to be able to compete at the highest level of the Premier League, £250 million in one transfer window, you got to think Juventus, Real Madrid, Barcelona, they all got to do that. Plus these German teams, you know, they all got to, you know, write a big check, Manchester City included.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's jump into the Super League, man. The Super League, it's rolling. It looked like it's rolling. When I sent you that thing, you was like, wow.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how this, you know, just kind of peeled this onion back. We went from talking about a theoretical to this thing picking up speed and becoming real world, where the heads of, you know, European powerhouse football clubs are openly admitting that they are accepting the invitations. That's incredible game changer. What? That's all in what, a 6 month, 12 month period? I mean,
yeah.
Who would have thunk it? I guess it was us, right?
Yeah, because we was like, man, would it be nice if we had a Super League of all these teams? And you were like, financially, these cats are going to stop wanting to break bread with, you know, Girona in your La Liga league. Like, hold on, why are we breaking bread with them?
Right. Exactly.
But something I was reading was they were saying that there's going to be some issues within their leagues, though, if they do make this jump. Because the league can say, well, you're doing this, well, you can't be in our league now.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely some real concerns. I mean, you're breaking up some of the historical structures. But one of the things that I kind of heard about, and, you know, again, this is all fluid and, you know, a lot of different people throwing out different theories.
It'll change every week.
But I'm hearing the European Super League providing some sort of financial compensation for all these smaller leagues and providing some stability to those leagues. So think about it. If the Premier League does, you know, lose the top four or the top six, those middle of the pack lower league teams, you know, Wolves, Sunderland, you know, Fulham, those teams want some financial help from a Manchester City. So there's some gives and takes where, you know, financially, if you're able to kind of at least bring stability to a smaller club, you might preserve these smaller leagues.
Oh, so you're saying that maybe they're going to get some kickback back. Like, so from my – like, whatever money we win in this league or whatever money we get in this league, 10-15% goes back to the league, the English Premier League or La Liga or whatever.
Exactly. Right, for allowing
– Ah, okay.
For allowing the exit team to leave, you know, they're going to get some sort of kickback financial compensation. That's the only way you can really get people to agree to it. Like, yeah, you leaving, but you're helping us and showing some love and bringing some stability to the original league. That's a trade-off we may be able to accept.
Do you think that they'll stay in their leagues, or will this become the league they'll be in, or do you think they will just leave the EPL and
I think that's
and this will be the league now?
it to be determined. I mean, who knows? That's the big unknown.
Wow, that'd be crazy if this would be just the league, like the league we have now, like, and everything else is just kind of just minor league then, right?
Yeah, and it's hard to say it can't happen, man, because, like, you look at a sport like baseball that's supposedly all about tradition, but you see, even in baseball, the playoff structure's changing, starting runners on second base. I mean, things that you would say are incredible and had no ever conceivable possibility back in 87. Today, it's a whole different ballgame. I think we could potentially see the very same thing in this European Super League.
Man, in the European Super League, that's crazy to think about, man. That is a possibility in itself. Hold on real quick, man. So what other things do you think that we could be seeing from this European Super League financially? If you look at it, it's so many possibilities, man. It's like, it's almost like choose your adventure, where it's just like whatever you kind of could throw out there, it could be a possibility.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking that, you know, we kind of touched on this last podcast, is how they consume the game specifically in Europe is almost a per game pay-per-view situation. So I think that the way they're going to be able to deliver this European Super League on multiple platforms and how the calendar and schedule would lay out, I think it's going to be something completely different, man. I think it's going to be something completely different and for the better, you know, more access, you know, unprecedented access, you know, even some of these new stadiums, like they're building out where you can now see the players, you know, in the dressing room through like a see-through walls and, you know, different camera angles of, you know, preparation before game that you've never seen. I think they're going to just make it all about content, make it very consumer friendly. And then you're going to have people all over the world subscribing to this European Super League. And it's just going to be incredible return on investment for them. Yep.
Dang, it's going to be ill, man. I can't wait to see how this all comes out. So let's go jump into this Barcelona update, man. You want to jump in this and what your feelings are with Messi wasting away in La Liga?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's why I want to throw this one on there. I hate to see it, man. You know, we watch these superstars, you know, from kids, you know, teenage talents. Will they make the grade? And then they develop into superstars and become legends of the game. And, you know, he definitely paid his dues at Barcelona, tried to get away this offseason, the drama with that, you know, pulling him back in, and then just watching the club, you know, crumble all around him, man. So much talent that is lost. Their front office is in shambles. And, you know, I think not including this weekend, I think he went 6 games, no goals. So it's just kind of like the talent is drying up and being wasted, man. And I'm not really sure what we're going to expect next from La Liga. You know, any thoughts on Barcelona, what you're seeing from Messi right now?
Yeah, with Messi, man, we wondered if he was going to be on cruise control. Like, all right, man, whatever. But then, you know, some of the young guys coming up on their squad, we was like, maybe he would kind of inspire him some. He just don't seem like it's inspiring, man. It's just like, all right, man.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like
y'all sit me down for a year, you know.
It doesn't feel like he's clicking with those young guys, you know, and are there almost a little afraid to play with him, not sure how to play with him. And they just haven't had enough time for that system to really click. And it's just real apparent that it needs to be a total rehaul at Barcelona. I think that's the inevitable, but it's just kind of hard to watch this right now. Aging superstar, a former shell of himself.
Can you see that Manchester City, and we got this on the docket, and we can kind of combine them, going ahead and making that splash in December since they need a finisher? But is Messi a finisher at this point? Is he's more a facilitator at this part of his life, right?
I got to stick to my guns. I never felt like, even when it was heavily rumored and felt real that Manchester City was pursuing Messi, I didn't think that was the right fit. They got so many young talented pieces at Manchester City right now. He just didn't seem like the next building block in my mind. So when that did fall through, it was like no harm, no foul. And then I would have looking at this because I know we, you know, we missed last week's pod, but looking at the performance of Manchester City in the Premier League just this past weekend, I think actually they're okay and they don't need a Messi. That young kid Torres, who was an attacking midfielder, you know, the coach now, Pep, he's saying, no, actually he's a striker and a clinical finisher. So, shit, he's scoring goals. He
In actuality, he him not going to Manchester City now actually may have blocked him from going there, because now they're like, okay, well, we got.
It's given an opportunity for Torres to shine, and I think he just fits overall in Manchester City with what they want to do in the same sort of age group, you know, where it all makes sense for these guys to be playing together.
Is Messi stuck in Barcelona? Since Man City's looking like they may not get him, is he stuck
there? I don't think that he's stuck. I mean, a guy his talent level, you're going to always have some suitors. But I just don't.
But does he want to go, though? I'm saying, will he accept it, is what I'm saying. Like, I mean, of course, you know, anybody could try to pick him up, but will he accept
it? I think that this delay of being in Barcelona again during this 2020 season, 2021 season, is going to hurt him. Option-wise, I think now – the Premier League doesn't really make a lot of sense for him. I think Italy starts to become a much brighter option for him because of the pace of the game. That's why.
Okay. So then next we have Real Madrid in the same league with them. Ramos came back and it seemed like they were a different squad. You know, he came back firing, you know, scored two goals for them in his comeback game. Does he make that much of a difference for them?
You know, yes and no, I think he's an important piece. I was going to ask.
He's an aging piece, too. He's an aging guy as well.
Exactly, a building block. And so it's a major change. And I'm not sure that they have the next guy ready. I mean, even though they do have a lot of talent, I'm not sure that it's a bona fide, solidified guy that's ready to come in and take over that spot. The other thing is, I don't know if you caught this, I saw a highlight where Benzema, he was talking in French to another player on Real Madrid, telling them not to pass the ball to the Brazilian, what is it, Vinicius, basically saying, you know, he sucks, don't pass him the ball. And this is when they're in the tunnel coming back out after halftime, but they're speaking in French. You know, he's Brazilian, he speaks Portuguese, you know, so he didn't even catch, you know, that they was talking shit. So I was like, oh, now this is just a clear-cut example, and you know how Real Madrid is in Spain, you know, this is like all over the back page. This is all, you know what I mean? Now it's a rift in the dressing room on top of what you're seeing on the pitch. So, you know, just injury to insult there.
Yeah, I mean, that's this. I mean, if you look at, I mean, Atletico Madrid needs to make their strike now at the league. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on all over the place. Barcelona just tied with Girona this past week. Like, the time is now the Atletico Madrid wants to make that move.
Exactly. Or, you know, a major ownership investor, a foreign investor. Now, you know, about Atletico Madrid or some of those other smallest La Liga clubs. I mean, just think if they get another oil owner, a Russian billionaire, somebody to come in there. I totally agree with you. The time is now where you can elevate a club and strike and run, you know, the roost of La Liga. I like to see that.
Yeah, I like to see that, man. I mean, same thing I feel with Juventus. Like, all those other teams in Serie A got a chance to come up. This is time for Milan to come back to glory. Like, this is their time to get back shining.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Time is there, but it's all about the financial investment, you know. The ownership groups have changed so much. And, you know, when you look at coronavirus and just the whole global economic impact, is this the time to splash the cash? Maybe if you got funny money, yes. But a lot of business people saying, hold on, let's just see how this is going to play out first.
So, I mean, because does it seem like Ronaldo's bored in Juventus too, though, as well?
You know, I don't know what the carrot is for him to chase anymore, what the challenge is. You got all the money, you got all the trophies. You know what I mean? Is he going through the midlife crisis? I saw he got the buzz cut now. He's cutting his hair off.
Yeah, like, what's going on?
Who knows, man?
Like, it seemed like after that Champions League loss, he was just like, man, dang. And then it seemed like he lost everybody, all his wingers, everybody's gone. Like, what Bencourt, I think, is the only person there. The starting is there. I mean, Weston McKennie came in and did some great things today. Today he had an assist, the first American with an assist in Serie A.
Oh, that's big, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite the
account. Yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just interested to see if this transfer window is anything that you said that you think is going to be. I guess at this point, I wonder for a team now, having a great player name on their team doesn't mean as much because you can't put nobody in the seats, if that makes sense. So what is it now? Like before Manchester City, like, yeah, you know, we're going to sell all kind of jerseys. I mean, I guess you can sell jerseys and stuff still, but – no, you can't bring nobody in the stadium to see Messi or to see Ronaldo if you pick him up. Is it worth your club going after him at this point?
I think it's the way that they're going to sell the game is going to have to change, man. And that's where, you know, some of those other things I was talking about, more behind the scenes, more exclusive content, you know, more of the social media interaction. I think the names of the players on the pitch does matter, man, because wins and losses is always, you know, going to be most important. And, you know, position in the table is going to judge if you're a big club or a small club is how is your team performing. So at the end of the day, players matter. Players matter.
That's real, man. Dang. All right, man. Let's go into this EPL, man, English Premier League. Man, Manchester United took a L today to Arsenal last week. We played y'all boys to a 0-0 tie. I want to give a shout-out to Mendy, though, man, before we even dive further. Man, Mendy has been the best thing ever. That's the best transfer, I think, of any team in throughout Europe in this whole window, period.
Hey, shout-out to my front office, man. They know what we need, and they went out and got it, man. Talk about money well spent. I mean, shout-out to the scouts. He didn't even cost us an arm and a leg, but, I mean – very athletic goalkeeper, you know, early in his prime, what, 27, 28 for a goal?
Yeah.
That's a young man for a goalkeeper. Just great size, great reactions, understands angles, you know, doesn't give up bad rebounds, and just most importantly, making the simple plays, man. That's always a knock on the African goalkeepers not being able to use their feet, but he doesn't seem to have any problem playing the ball out of the back, spraying the ball left and right. I'm definitely happy with what I'm seeing from Mendy, man. And at the money that he's making, he is signing himself up for a major payday in another year or two.
And then since we're mentioning Mendy, we have to talk about Kepa now. So is it signed, sealed, delivered? I'm gone.
absolutely, man.
he said absolutely.
Somebody to cough up some money anywhere near his original price tag. Because, I mean, if you remember, we had the number one goalkeeper in the world, and the guy went to Real Madrid, the Belgium.
Yeah.
Thibaut Courtois, something like
that. Yeah,
Courtois. Yeah, man. So, you know, we sold him to Real Madrid, and understandable, you know, people want to go to Real Madrid, biggest club in the world, arguably. So that's a step up from Chelsea. I can understand and respect that. But then Kepa being the replacement, $70, $80 million for his that's a terrible, terrible bet. 50, 60 million pounds, he's on the first thing smoking, that's for sure.
So, but is anybody going – so are y'all going to have to give him a bar – y'all going to have to give a bargain rate for him, or are y'all going – or what?
I think you got to catch somebody desperate, somebody that has a major injury, depleted goalkeeping core, maybe has an opportunity to push for a top four finish. I could see somebody coming in and spending the money because he has the talent. You know, he may need to go back to basics and kind of rebuild himself, but he has something there. I'm just not sure if it's worth 50, 60 million or will people argue it's worth more 25, 30.
Yeah. I mean, this is like how much you like he was getting, he's the highest paid goalkeeper in English Premier League, right?
I mean, yeah, he was supposed to be a superstar. You know, he was supposed to be a guy that was going to be on the roster for 20 years. They gave him $70, $80 million, and it's just it just has not worked, man. Even midweek, he looks scary in these tournament games. He looks scary, man. You know what I mean? Every time the ball is coming near him, you just don't know. You just don't know.
Dang, that's ill though, man. So shout out to Mindy, man. We took the L to Arsenal today. Pogba with the penalty, man. On the, you know, and that's just, it's just sloppy, man. It's like he is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Every you don't know who you're getting, week to week.
Man, I hate and love to see it. You know, I hate and love to see it. What is this guy doing? I mean, he's got all the skills in the world, but I mean, and I love what he said post game. Defending is not his strong suit, and we clearly saw that on display in the box. This guy has no reason to be making that kind of lunging, ill-timed tackle. I mean, you can't blame the referee. I think the punishment was appropriate, and, you know, Aubameyang stepped up and, you know, under pressure, put the ball in the back of the net, you know, to have slouching the goal. But listen, man. It's fun to listen to the legends of Manchester United of yesteryear. Sit back and reflect on this current team, you know, versus the management of Sir Alex Ferguson and what we see from, you know, Ollie. You know, the defense always shuffling, the formations always changing. you know, Rashford, like I say, I really like what I saw from Rashford. Even a pass he tried to make to the other forward, what, Greenwood?
Yeah, Greenwood, yeah.
Excellent. You know, super tactical, super creative, pushing the ball forward, looking dangerous, but just not enough, man. I just don't understand between your front office and your manager, man. You guys are a shell of your former selves. You know, it's almost like just looking at the Bulls, man. Like, the Bulls right now – are no way like the Bulls we grew up on in the 90s.
But we ain't fell off that far. Come on now. The Bulls won like 18 games last year. We ain't that.
Listen, I understand you're on Kool-Aid, heavy doses of it. But that's
the reality. Do I have to bring the Funkmaster Flex bombs back, man? Hold on, man. Hold on.
That's the reality. And your legends, man, your legends. Roy Keane was talking about it today, man. Just he was like, he don't see no leaders on the pitch. Who are the leaders at your club? Who are the leaders?
So, I mean, and that's one thing I do think that's a good pickup with Cavani, because if you've seen a lot with Cavani, he's been really mentoring a lot of cats, like showing like, yo, look, this is how we kind of need to rock, because we don't have – like, our team is very, very young. You got to think Rashford's 22. Yeah. Greenwood is 20. I mean, what's Martial, 25? I mean, Pogba, I mean, well, he's 27, but he acts like he's 17. So, you know, Bruno, 25, 26, you know. I mean, Van der Beek is 21, 22. I mean, De Gea is like the oldest, like 29, 30. Besides Cavani now. Well, Cavani now. Harry Maguire is like 26, you know. So we needed that vet in the locker room, you know, that really can be like, yo, well, this is what we need to be on.
You know, I think it helps, man, but I think that you need more structure. You know, this is the time of the year and the part of the season where the team sheet should be pretty much set. You shouldn't be experimenting a whole lot. You know, injuries are going to happen. You know, people are going to have card, you know, problems, suspension problems. And so you're going to have to shuffle some of the roster that way. But you guys, it's like a crapshoot, man. Like, he just takes all the names. He throws them out there each week.
Well, that's been recently, though, because of Martial being out. That's how everything's been getting shuffled around for at least EPL games. Martial can play in, you know, in Champions League bands, but I think this is his last suspension was today, I believe.
Well, wasn't it before three across in the midfield, and then you were commenting yourself that you like Diamond better.
Definitely.
You know, the younger kid, talk about youngsters, what is it, McTominay?
McTominay, yeah.
Is he really the quality of a Manchester United player? Is that the
No. guy? No, he's what we got right now. He's what we got right now. That's all it is.
And I had to point at your front office. I mean, that's a poor front office decision. He's not even a young enough prospect to say, well, he's just a young kid and we're giving him a shot. This is just poor talent. Poor.
I agree.
You know?
So I agree.
It goes to show you the of where you guys really are. I mean, it's just like the Chicago Bulls right now. That's where you are.
Yeah, I wonder on a bigger level, do we see anything that we can have on a bigger scale? And we're looking back at like, okay, well, we need to do this. We need to do this. We need a center back. We know we need another winger, maybe, or another, you know, midfielder. It's just what we – just knowing how to put those keys into that spot. We got a lot of good youth talent, you know, behind us. I'm just interested to see how he's going to keep the diamond going. I'm fine with that, but just stick with it. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to rock that, let's rock it. Because Fred has been killing it, though, man. Fred has been, like, probably the MVP of the squad right now, him and Rashford, because he's been doing all the dirty stuff. He's doing the CDM stuff. He's doing CDM stuff for us.
Well, it's funny you say that, you know, and I'll trust your judgment. You watch your club a lot more than I do. But, you know, Troy Deeney, a pro, he was talking about Fred, and he was saying that he's a terrible, you know, Brazilian, and says he only creates 3 or 4 opportunities per game, if that. So it was just funny that you say that, you know, Fred.
Yeah, we don't need him to create opportunities, though. He's just getting back on D. He's been great tackling. He's been getting in people. He ain't got to set up nothing. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of playmakers up front already.
And that's definitely true. You're definitely right. And like I said, I defer to you on that. But the other thing I was going to say, and just starting to connect a lot of dots, is, and since I hate your club with such a passion, to even give you this hint of a path to success. But I think it's overall for the game a good thing. Maybe this European Super League shakes your front office up and says the time to reload Manchester United is right now. And they roll out a $300-400 million package to go find the best talent to reload in preparation for the European Super League, because you don't want the Super League to launch and then you trying to go put together a team. You rather go amass all the young talent now, so when the Super League kicks off, now we just drive the car the right direction. You know, we mold these guys together. And I think that's what you're going to see from a lot of these elite clubs. And if your team, you know, your ownership group is smart, they go out and spend that $300-400 million and just reload across the table and really put in some key guys that can help you guys go to the next level.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with it. And then even more, I'm just thinking about, and we can get this it popped in my head. You have Haaland out there. You know what I'm saying? Is Real Madrid and Barcelona going to be dumping that cash at him? Or like what is, he seemed like he's cool there, but who wants to really be at Borussia Dortmund their whole career? That's really the training ground for everybody.
It is right now. But I mean, has their chairman accepted an invite to the Super League? Borussia Dortmund. See, now we don't know that. If they have, they may no longer look at themselves as a –
That's what we saw about last week. Remember, we said that last week, yeah.
They may do exactly what I'm describing and saying, you know what, let's bet the farm and go for bust in this new league. And what if they came up with $300-400 million to add on top of what they got? They changed this whole paradigm, and they become a real contender. And you can't say it can't happen. They have the talent evaluation people, some of the best in the business, obviously, right now. What if those guys had $300 million to go buy with? I think they would amass
Or keep the guys you have. Or at least just even re-sign everybody you have and pay them.
Exactly. Go for bust. And, you know, they say this new league is going to be backed by Chase.
Yeah.
Chase is going to do is give each one of these super clubs a crazy credit line to go nuts with.
This is going, oh man, this is going to be ridiculous, man. But you know, overall, this EPL year, this so far, you know, with the table, how are you looking at and feeling it? I mean, is Wolves for? I mean, it's so early. I guess we really can't even break this down because it's still so early to really be even talking about. Because last week we was giving Aston Villa love, and then they dropped 2 in a row and got blew out 2 times in a row.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to. It's hard to really give this some true legs right now. I always say I don't take the table too seriously until we get past Christmas. But I do think that we can learn some things and glean some things from what we see right now. Liverpool, you know, obviously top of the table. I think that they're bouncing back and doing really well considering the injuries. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how they maintain. Everton, You know, even though they took a loss this weekend, you know, I was a little surprised by the loss. But they're still, what, third place in the table?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm still very surprised and very pleased with them.
Southampton's in fourth.
Southampton. Didn't see that coming. At all. But, you know.
Now, I mean, now keep in mind, let me peruse and see who they played, though.
Yeah, take a look at that, who they play.
Yeah, okay, they tied y'all. They beat Everton, but that's the one that got them over the top. And then they beat Aston Villa. So those are the shining ones.
Exactly. So, you know, not chumps, but not necessarily the roughest patch of the table for them just yet. You know, of course, my Chelsea, right where we should be, number six. Outside looking in, we got a lot of new people come on board this offseason. We're gelling 3-0 this weekend. I like our position. I like where we are.
Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, it's seven games in. I mean, six games for us, seven games for y'all in. It's just going to be interesting, you know, moving forward. I mean, I thought we was going to have all kind of L's this year. I didn't expect us to even win any games for real this stretch just because it was like it's so hard. So I'm not going to get too down on this Arsenal loss just because it's, you know, I didn't expect it. You know, it's just not expected that we were going to be able to sustain that over a time period. I mean, we get Everton Saturday, which would be a big one. And then we have Istanbul. So, I mean, who do y'all have this week?
I'm not sure who we got in either league. But before we move on, I want to ask you, with Manchester United in 15th place in the table, are you concerned that you guys are going to end up in a regulation battle?
No, come on now. Come on now. Come on.
Is it too early? Think about it.
Come on now. Come on now. Come on now.
Hold on now.
Come on now. Come on. Now you're getting ridiculous.
You have to start to consider this.
This is ridiculous now. No, we don't have to do none of that. This is ridiculous conversation.
You complete denial here. But look at this now. You have Everton coming up. Everton right now is in third place in the table. They lost this past weekend. So they absolutely want to pick up a win and cement themselves in that top four. I think a loss for you guys, that becomes
The league wouldn't let us get relegated. They'll start cheating for us before that.
No, man.
No, the league would start cheating. We would start cheating if it got to that point.
Dropping like a stone. I mean, how low on the table do you have to go before they fire the coach?
I mean, we're not going to talk about that because we're not going to be that low on the table. Now, if you want to say how many, you know, what part of the year he'll be gone, anything like that, I'm fine with that discussion. But we're not going to talk about them being lowered, and they're not going to get lowered, so I'm not worried about it.
We'll jot that down. I'm going to mark your words on that and hold you to that. But, I mean, that's what you're absolutely here for, is to talk about this and explain – to the viewers and the listeners, man, what is going on with your club? So I don't want to see you tap dance around that. We're going to hold you to that. You guys will not go any lower in this table than 15th position, okay?
Yeah, no, we're not worried about that, man. I mean,
November 1st.
Right? Yeah, we lost three games. We 2-1-3. We're fine, man. We're fine. You know what I'm saying?
Over under, your manager makes it to the first of the year. Over under. Because I think that the European – I think they are taking that bet now. A lot of
– Oh, no, it's out there. It's out there. I would say it's 50-50, honestly, to be honest.
I'm saying 60-40, but I'm a cynic, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying 50-50 just because his success in the Champions League is going to – if they go come out here and win that group, you know, you kind of can't – what are you going – I mean, are you really want to shuffle everything up and you just won the group?
I mean, you said what
– Now, if we go out here and lose to Istanbul tomorrow, all bets are off. Just put all bets are off. We go out and lose Istanbul on Wednesday or Tuesday, bets are off. He's gone, the next thing's smoking.
Manchester United does not get excited about beating Turkish league teams. I mean, that –
I'm not saying – no, I'm saying if we lose to them.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it definitely becomes a much higher probability off with Ollie's head if you guys lose to him. I took a look here while you was chatting. We have Rennes from France, Chelsea does. So I definitely feel like we'll.
Okay, now that's Mendy's former team too.
Exactly. So I think that means that he can't. He might not be allowed to play against.
No, he should be able to play. He's not on loan. That's only in loan.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Okay. Yeah, he should be able to play. Yeah, because that's only on loan. You was worried you had to have Kepa in.
Because I might have Kepa talk about 50-50.
That's more 80-20?
Yeah, 20-80. Kepa's in there. Absolutely. Thank the football gods. Thank the football gods.
Yeah. No, he's a full signing, so he's straight. Let's jump into our Arsenal fan favorite. Jump into this Jack Wilshere thing, man, with English, and then we'll wrap that into Freddie Adu. We teased that a little bit last week that we wanted to talk about Freddie Adu, so this is no better time.
Yeah. So Jack Wilshere, man. You know, we have mentioned Freddie Adu multiple times on this podcast, and it got me thinking about Jack Wilshere. He's kind of the English equivalent to Jack Wilshere. He was a young prodigy. Really, they kind of start scouting him 14, 15 years old. He was a really big name. One of his claims to fame is being named to the England national team at like 16 years old. So that was very, very big deal for him coming up. Being at Arsenal, you know, playing that ticky-tack, that beautiful, you know, sort of game that Arsenal's known for. He was slotted into that team and really showed out well and flashes in the pan during his early years. But like a lot of these youngsters, man, you know, a lot of times they get too much too fast. You know, you start getting caught up in a lot of different scandals, drinking scandals, domestic violence scandals, you know, drinking and driving. And I mean, you know, we all live and learn, man, but, you know, never really kind of lived up to that potential of being that next superstar. You know, that Wayne Rooney sort of level, he never really made it to those sorts of heights. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. And now there's talk about him, you know, he's kind of in the last few years declined from going from Arsenal, you know, a top, you know, five, top six team in the Premier League, dropping down to smaller clubs in the Premier League, Bolton Wanderers, stint in West Ham United, a stint at Bournemouth, to now, you know, kind of aging out. And they're talking about him, you know, making the jump across the pond to the MLS. And so I just thought that was kind of interesting, man. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, so do you think that – so let's talk about this Freddie Adu. How is it compared to Freddie Adu for people that may not remember Freddie Adu or heard of him?
Well, you know, Freddie Adu was a young phenom. And so that's kind of the connection that they both have. Both early teenage years with a lot of spotlight, all over the magazines, you know, at that time, the internet in its early ages, you know, those were the names that were talked about as being the next big thing. So, Freddie Adu on this side of the pond, Jack Wilshere on the English side.
So, the Freddie Adu, man, I did a deep dive, man, on him. He started out, you know, all about, you know, making the U.S. He was on the U.S. under squad in the early 2000s, killing it. He had 16 goals for three different squads in the U.S. under teams. Everybody was thinking that he was the big sign-in for D.C. United, right, when they first came in, right?
That's right, in the MLS, that's right.
Yeah, so then he went D.C. United. Then I'm looking here when Real Salt Lake. Then he went over to Benfica, and then he was on loan to AS Monaco. Then he was at Belenenses. Then he was at Aris. These are all loans. Kayakur Rizipur, loan. Then he ended up on the Philadelphia Union. Is that a part of that?
That's an MLS team.
MLS, uh-huh. Okay. Then he went to Bahia, Jagdina, Cups, K-U-P-S. Then at Kufu, 98 on loan. Tampa Bay Rowdies, the Las Vegas Lights, and now at the Osterlin Football Club, or FF, I guess. This is his whole journey since 2004, so.
Wow, true journeyman, true.
Yeah, that's a lot of clubs since 2004.
Yeah, that guy's been living out of a suitcase, I'm assuming, for many, many years, man. That just goes to show you, man, soccer, man, football. You know, it can look like it's going to all break your way, and it may not necessarily happen, man. but a lot of things these guys have in common, the big paydays at such a young age. Freddie Adu, when he was, 14, 15, and on that DC United, he was making, top player money at that time.
Yeah.
He was 15, 16 years old, on top of all the marketing and off the field money that he was, because he was a Nike athlete, if I recall correctly, Wheaties, all of that, never really came to the
top. Yeah, and I'm wondering, why he even, what was his biggest downfall? Was it just that he just wasn't fully equipped, or?
It felt like it was the mental side of the game. Some of these guys you see in different sports where, in football, a AB, it's is he mentally not there? Is he mentally aloof? Freddie Adu wasn't like that. It was just like he could just never put it all together. He'd be cooking the gumbo, but always leave something major out. And he never put it all together.
Yeah, they said he did all right with Benfica his first series, first year, but then he just struggled from there, and they just kept loaning him out, and it never popped for him. He never really got the start and, love on for the U.S. squad, because remember, he was he's going to take us to the mountaintop, and it's almost like, what was the guy that everybody thought was better than LeBron James that came in that draft with him, and he's super big now and fat. I forgot the dude's name. He was supposed to be better than LeBron, though, and he didn't get drafted, or he got drafted late.
I'm thinking of the guy from Ohio State that had the foot problems, but he looked like an old man when he got.
Oh, drafted. You're talking about Lenny Cook is the kid's name. Lenny Cook is the kid I'm talking about.
Okay.
Lenny Cook is the one that I'm talking about, but you're talking about old man. He looked like he is LeBron's daddy. I can't remember his name now. Why can't I remember his name now?
Olden or something? Greg Oden?
Greg Oden. Yeah, that's it. Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Yeah, Greg Oden. Yeah. Greg Oden.
Was he in that same draft? Can't remember, man.
No. Greg Oden is way after.
Okay.
Greg Oden was in the same draft with Rose.
Derrick Rose, okay.
Yeah.
That's
Marcus Beasley was the second pick in that draft.
Wow.
I remember that. He was the second pick in that draft. He was the second. So, yeah, it was Greg Oden. You know what? What you call it was not in his draft. Third pick in his draft was Al Horford. Then it was Mike Conley, four. So, he wasn't in his draft. So, but last up, man, let's jump into our Gareth Bale Player of the Week, Mario Balotelli.
Yeah, man. Mario Balotelli, man. Boy, he's had a roller coaster career.
I mean, he's the black version of Zlatan, but without doing nothing.
a lot of hype, not a whole lot of substance. I knew when he was doing fireworks in the bathroom mansion. When he made the newspaper for that, I knew this guy didn't have it all. He didn't have it. It's one thing to be doing fireworks at your mansion, but not inside of your bathroom. Most people don't.
What is that? That doesn't even make any sense at all.
And then I love when he used to score the goals and he used to wear the T-shirt underneath his jersey that say, "Why always me?" Because, they'd always be pointing the blame, somebody saying he's doing something.
Well, always be. That's hilarious. Because he was set so much promise. He was literally – he could have been a marketing genius thing for a marketing company. If he had played it straight, he had the hair, He's got this personality. He's got all those things you would want for a Gillette commercial, All the things you want for the Rite-On commercial, The Nike ad where, maybe him running, hustling, doing some dribbles and, doing some shakes. That was all set up for him to do that.
I think so. I think he had a lot of emotional, scarring and issues,
he's Italian. Adopted or something crazy, right?
He's Italian by passport, adopted by an Italian family, small Italian town. Just the racism that was impacted on him growing up in a small Italian town as an African kid to an Italian family, you know, you can only imagine what that was like. And we see what happens to pro football players in Italy, you know, the bananas, the monkey noises, all that sort of stuff. Even on the Italian national team, we've seen that in qualifying games and World Cups and European championships, where that stuff is taking its toll, you know, on him mentally. And I think that's always impacted his development overall.
Yeah, it's a shame, man, that he could have been better, man. And now he's at – what team is he on now? Let me see. I had him pulled up. He's at a lower Italian Serie A squad, I believe. He's on
– is it on like something like that?
Yeah, it's something – hold on. It's Brescia.
Yeah. And he's on Brescia. Like you say, yeah, Brescia Calcio is the club that he's at now. And before that, he was at a real small club in France. And, I mean, he was doing the business. Like you said, talent level like Zlatan, you know, will try things that other players wouldn't even think about and execute them. But just off the field, man, mentally just has never had it all there.
Yeah, I don't even understand. I mean, like you said, maybe it's some other stuff going on, you know, with him, you know, along with that. Like, it just seemed like basically after he left Milan that time, I mean, well, he was already kind of a basket case, I know, before, right? Even before he started really falling off.
Well, yeah, you know, some of the stories with him is he really got into it. He had the Italian coach, Mancini, at Manchester City. That's right when they got the Arab money at Manchester City to begin with. He was part of the cash infusion buy. You know, he was the hot, young, next best thing. And like I said, he was doing those Zlatan sort of things. And, you know, he was fun to watch. All eyes on him. And that's why the paparazzi and the off-the-field stuff was coming so hot and heavy as well, because he was producing on the pitch. But he ended up having a major argument with Riccardo Mancini when he was the manager at Manchester City. And that's what really started the shipping him of moving around, you know, back to Italy, dumped in France, back to Italy again. And, you know, next thing you know, the guy's 30 years old and on his way out of football.
Yeah, I mean, does any team take a chance on him at this point or no?
I think, man, you know, MLS is always a great, you know, landing area for guys like him. And I think definitely China will be calling for the services of a guy like him. You know, China loves Africans, and they got a lot of money, man. You see, especially these older, aging African strikers specifically, you see them land and take that last big payday in China. So I can definitely see him on that sort of path.
Yeah, that would be crazy, though, man, if he went to MLS. I mean, that probably would be some good place for him. Maybe as long as he's not in, like, he can't go to, like, to a Miami, though, or something. He got to be somewhere kind of chill, like Sporting KC or something, you know. Where he can
relax. I don't know, man. He's kind of a big-time personality and guy. I mean, you know, Milan's a huge city. Manchester City's not that big, but – you know, he was always in London and, you know, spending the nightlife in Paris. And you know what I mean? So I could see him in a New York City sort of environment. You know what I mean? And being okay there.
Yeah. Well, man, let's go wrap it up, man. Where can everybody hit you up at, man?
Man, at Phoenix Piff on Twitter, man. Definitely been getting some engagement, some new listeners.
Yeah.
Guys from Nigeria threw me a friend's request, man. So definitely appreciate that. And, love talking the game, man, and pushing your buttons on there. So
yeah, man, it's all good. I'm not even tripping, man, because we're gonna rise back up, man. You know, we'll be back, and I ain't worried about nothing. You know, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We not getting relegated. There's none of that stuff. Is people? If you don't all my man, you listeners, don't let them gaslight you with this, man. You know,
keep your eyes on the table, man. Keep your eyes on the table.
All right, man. Well, we can get out of here. Thank y'all for listening. Email us straightolc@gmail.com with all your questions and comments. You can tweet us at straightolc as well and get with us and ask any questions. And, you know, we look forward to hearing some more questions from people too.
Absolutely. Been good.
All right,
man.
Y'all. Peace.